You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
After more than a century of debate, researchers have settled the mystery of a tiny enigmatic reptile that left an impression on Scottish sandstone nearly a quarter of a billion years ago. The 20-centimeter long, now I'm going to mispronounce this for sure, Scleromoculus tellurii was discovered near Elgin in Moray in the early 1900s. But all that remained from a handful of specimens were the natural molds created in the rock when the fossilized bones dissolved away. Without pieces of skeleton to mull over, paleontologists resorted to filling the impressions with wax and latex to make casts of the bones. From these, they concluded that the reptile had a large head, a short neck, a slender body, and a long hind limbed, and it lived from between 240 and 210 million years ago. But now they're convinced that this creature is closely related to pterosaurs. Now, I spoke to Dr. Nick Rawlins from the Paleogenetics Lab at the University of Otago, who's seemingly become the resident dinosaur expert here at 95BFM on this matter. Here he is now.
Yeah, so in the early 1900s in Elgin and Moray in Scotland, there were some impressions of small reptile fossils that were found in some rocks dated to 240 to 210 million years ago. And they didn't think there was any of the fossil bone left, so the scientists that discovered it poured wax into the impressions and created some molds of the bones. And there's been this debate ever since about what this fossil species is. It's about 20 centimeters long, called Scleromoculus tayloride, what it's actually been related to. And some scientists thought it was most closely related to dinosaurs, and some scientists thought it was actually most closely related to pterosaurs. So, like, pterosaurs are the group of extinct flying reptiles that could be anything from the size of a coffee table to the size of a Cessna, the giant Quetzalcoatlsaurus from the Americas.
Was this finding quite surprising?
Yeah, so there's been this big debate, and the surprising part, reading the media press releases that have come out, is they used CT scanning to basically get really detailed shapes of the molds that were left on the rock, but also the bones that were still in the rock that they couldn't actually see on the surface. And so what they've worked out is there's parts of the jaw shape that's head size. It's got a large head, a short neck, slender body, long hind limbs, that actually show that this small reptile, which was running around on long hind legs in forests of ancient Triassic Scotland at that stage, eating insects, is actually more closely related to pterosaurs. It's part of this group called the Lagopedids, which are this group of reptiles that's most closely related to pterosaurs rather than dinosaurs. So what you've got is this little bipedal ancestor of pterosaurs running around in ancient Scotland, and 10 to 15 million years later, you have flying pterosaurs.
The work suggests that the ancestors of the giant flying pterosaurs, commonly known as pterodactyls, were found to be lithe little reptiles that scampered around on two legs. Is it quite interesting the fact that, you know, these quite small little flying animals turned out to be these giant creatures that could grow up to be bigger than planes, essentially?
Yeah, and one of the interesting things is trying to find either transitional forms through the fossil record. So if you think of like the famous horse fossils you find in Europe, you can see the whole entire evolutionary transition from tiny, small, hoofed animals, like miniature horses, right through to the horses that we know today. With pterosaurs, we have Scleromoculus tayloride, these Lagopedids. And then 10 to 15 million years later, we have fully fledged pterosaurs. We don't have any of these transitional forms. And we see that in a lot of other species where, in the blink of a geological eye, they just exist. Well, they're found fully formed in the fossil record. You get it with pterosaurs. You get it with mosasaurs, these giant extinct marine reptiles that are closely related to varanid lizards and snakes. And ichthyosaurs, the fish lizards, or Mesozoic dolphins, effectively, they're not dolphins, but they're superficially similar body form, is they just appear in the fossil record fully formed. So there's still a lot of research that needs to go on to try and find these transitional forms. But the problem with pterosaur fossils is when you're a pterosaur, you need light bones to be able to fly. Like flying birds have light bones. Now, light bones don't actually preserve that well in the fossil record. There are bits of pterosaurs discovered here in New Zealand by Joan Whiffen. There are bits of pterosaurs discovered in Australia, and they're all really, really fragmentary because the bones are so light and quite fragile. So it'll be a big task to find these transitional forms, but I think that'll actually really help show us how this little reptile from Triassic Scotland evolved into the giant flying reptiles that we know from the age of the dinosaurs.
Is it difficult to really trace this creature's evolution when you have such like a massive gap because there's no fossils preserved the reptiles that had taken steps towards that airborne life?
Yeah, no, it can be quite difficult. So there are traits shared by Scleromochlus tayloriae, this little fossil from Scotland, by the Lagopedids and by pterosaurs that will link them in a chain of evolution. But when you don't have these transitional forms, what you can say is these small reptiles are the most closely related to pterosaurs, but it's quite difficult to work out how did A get to B. And you find that in the fossil record with a whole lot of animals where you've got you know roughly what the ancestors are, you know what they turned into, but because you don't have a transitional form, it's really quite hard to work out how that evolution happened. It can result in a lot of debate. So there's been huge debate with mosasaurs of whether they're most closely related to varanid lizards or most closely related to snakes. And I think the current evidence suggests that they are they're what we call the sister group, or the most closely related cousins to snakes at the moment, as opposed to snakes evolved from mosasaurs.
Because they don't have an animal between the Lagopitids and the pterosaurs, it can be frustrating, and they're really hoping they could provide some extra information on what these animals actually look like.
Yeah, and it's new technology will always help. So these fossils from Scotland were discovered in the early 1900s. In the early 1900s, we didn't have micro CT scanning. By applying new technology to historically collected fossils, we don't necessarily need new discoveries. We can go back to the discoveries that have already been made that are sitting in museum collections and reanalyze them with new techniques to glean new information. And people are doing that all the time. There are always stories cropping up of fossils that have been discovered in the 1800s, early 1900s that have sat in museum collections, and postgraduate students or early career researchers have come along and then just notice, okay, this is really, really cool. And you're discovering new stuff, not just in museum collections, but in the field and with new technology.
Well, thank you so much, Nick. Is there anything else that you would like to add?
No, just that it's a really exciting discovery, and it's actually really fortuitous that the scientists that did this research got to CT scan and actually discovered more of the bones that were actually in the rock that actually preserved these molds. So we can actually tell a lot more information from it.
That was Dr. Nick Rawlins from the Paleogenetics Lab at the University of Otago, speaking about the recent discovery of pterosaur-like creatures in Scotland.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.